It is Wednesday morning. It is just after 8:05, and that means on the telephone we are joined by County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. She makes her weekly Wednesday visit. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
We know the sun is shining in Ellettsville as it does constantly 24 hours a day.
Right.
Not a cloud in sight.
72 degrees over here.
That's what it is. 72 degrees in the studio as well. That's how we do it, and we stay nice and warm. And as we move along here in January, you've got your meetings that all fall into place on Tuesday nights before we get you on Wednesday mornings. And we always like speaking with you after your meetings because sometimes things, I don't want to say get lost in translation, but might get translated a little differently. And Margaret and I were talking about the recap of your meeting in today's Herald Times. Rachel Bunn had the story, and talking about surpluses and what's going on in county government. And I'll give you the opening paragraph. There's more money in the county's coffers heading into 2015, but county finances still feel the effect of several one-time expenses from the past 3 years. Give us your thoughts on where the finances are and what went on at your meeting last night.
Well, I think that she missed one of the slides because actually we have $2,200,410 less projected than what we had at the beginning of the year because the total money that's available to us is part of it is in the property tax general fund, and part of it is in the income tax general fund. And the part that you have to always remember to take in consideration is the part that we have in the rainy day fund, which is our savings account. And so when you add up all of those totals that we had at the beginning of the year, you were at like $16,900,000. And at the end of the year, we were at $14,749,000. So indeed, our balances were less in total. Our balance in the property tax general is higher because we took $2,700,000 out of our savings, out of that rainy day, and put it over there in general. It didn't make us have more money. We didn't generate more money. We just chose to put it over there so that we could pay for that dispatch out of the general fund, and which was $1 million, which would have left an extra $1.7 million that we had transferred over. So actually, we did not have an increase. We really had a decrease. Now, that all sounds, if you're not looking at these numbers, that would be very hard to try to follow along with. But just basically, if you move money from your own personal savings account over into your own personal checking account, you don't suddenly have more money available to you. You just put it in a different spot.
That makes sense. That's
so
a little easier to follow.
Where are we at with the rainy day fund at the moment, Marty?
Okay, at the rainy day fund, we started out at $6,807,000, and our ending balance is $3,300,000. I left off some.
Yeah, leave
that's
off
okay.
This. Please, that, please
yeah,
do.
Please, yeah.
Now,
that's too
okay,
confusing.
So you have there's two ways to look at it. $3 million in change is a good rainy day fund, or the rainy day fund has now fallen in half?
Well,
is a cup half empty or is a cup half full?
I'd rather have $3 million in there as nothing and many counties
right.
have nothing. We chose, the county council chose to spend down our rainy day fund in order to pay for that dispatch center.
That's a one-time cost, correct?
Right, because rather than go to the taxpayer and say we don't have the money to pay for it, which would not have been a truthful statement, we chose to use the money that came in, and we put back, most of that came back from the state when the state made that big mistake having to do with our income tax, and they hadn't been distributing it correctly, and that was several years ago. We put it in that rainy day fund, and so we chose to use it in this manner. But for some reason, I think probably the reporter did not look at the general summary, which included that rainy day fund, which would have made it very clear if you were looking at it that we did not come out with money ahead we were really, we spent down our balance, total balance, if you add all three of those together, which is the only way to do it. To begin with, that hadn't been put together quite like that, and I asked Jeff McKim to put it together so that no one would be confused to think that, well, we suddenly had $800,000+ more money than what we had before. We don't. We just moved it from one spot to the other.
So, Marty, another question that probably a lot of people are wondering, as I am, you know, there's all these kind of calculations we do in our personal home for how much should be in an emergency fund. What do we use the emergency fund? Obviously, we needed to do it for this dispatch center, but I mean, in a more comprehensive way, what would we use our emergency fund for? Why do we need an emergency fund?
I think the question is, we're not going to have a dispatch center come up every year. We're not going to buy a Johnson Hardware building
every
year. But
so how much money should we have in there?
Right, and I understand that. We normally would not have that kind of balance had it not been for what was going on with the state and the error they made. But the reason why, in my opinion, it's important to have some of the balance, I would not want to spend that down much further than that, because we used to have our income tax used to be included in with our property tax, and that, so that we had dollars to go to make payroll. And now we can't move that income tax over into the property tax to make payroll. So let's say if for some reason we started spending all of those balances down and we didn't have our tax settlement brought back into that fund, say in June or in December,
we
need the money to make payroll. So we have always got this rainy day that we can go to get back over there in case we would have some kind of a delay in settlement.
And that's happened before, hasn't it?
Oh yes. Well, we still don't have final settlement for last year.
Now, is that a state issue?
They don't have it done. Now, I was told yesterday that that hopefully within a couple of days that it should be out to the different units.
Okay, is that a state problem or?
No, it was.
Well, that's what the report, the article in today's paper says. Thanks to a delay at the state level, Rachel Bunn's article says, but take that number with an asterisk beside it. It doesn't include all of the property taxes the county was supposed to receive in 2014 thanks to a delay at the state level and higher. Well, that's why I ask you these questions, because I'm trying to pan for gold here and trying to figure out what is and what isn't.
Well,
you've already told me that the gross numbers we're dealing with here are a little bit different on paper than they were at your meeting because we missed a slide or whatever that is. So why don't we have our tax revenues ready to go? And why are they going to be here in a couple of days instead of not here already?
Well, the treasurer and the auditor certified to the state, and the state said you're not balanced, and it was a small amount, but still they said you're not balanced. But then they said, well, okay, sounds like almost like good enough for government work, but do try to find that small amount of money. But by that time, the auditor had already said, well, to distribute the 95%. But since that time, they still have not been able to agree until like the last day or two what the other 5%, how that was supposed to be distributed. So it's not a delay from the state level at all. I mean,
except for them wanting the numbers right.
Right. It wasn't balanced. It was not a great deal of money to be off, but you know what? It must have still been quite a problem if it took them this many weeks to figure out how to distribute the other 5%.
Well, the holidays are in there. Come on.
But
who's going to work over that time? Come on.
However, I'm certain that's going to happen. I just wanted to make sure that we all understood that we did not end up with a great deal more money. We actually spent down our money, which that was planned to do, rather than go to the taxpayer and say we want more money from you, we just spend it out of the savings where the taxpayer had already paid it, which was the appropriate thing to do.
Our guest this morning is County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. She checks in every Wednesday morning just after 8:05 so we can get a feel of what happened at the meetings the night before. They have you here. County Member Marty Hawk suggested the council ask departments that come with requests to make a transfer from their personnel lines first before dipping into the general county money. It's how previous councils treated requests. How did that come about, and what was the reaction to that suggestion?
Well, we traditionally have some of our departments who do not use all their personnel lines. They either leave some open for if someone leaves, they leave something open for a while, which we have asked them to do in order to become more sustainable and to be able to put the money aside so that we can start budgeting for salary increases. But what we have done in the past, if we're getting toward the end of the year and a department wants extra money for something in their supplies or their contracts or something, and we see that there's money left to that personnel and the personnel totals that they are not going to use, in the past we have said you must transfer down and use within the budget that we have given you to operate with. As long as there's money there, let's get it transferred down, rather than doing all these additional appropriations. And then at the end of the year, we haven't had a good feel for how much is going to be brought back into the county coffers. So it's really just a matter of accounting situations. So that's not a biggie. That a really big thing that happened last night, I think, was when we were presented with numbers from the county assessor. You might have noticed in the paper as of yesterday, there's been some movement at the tax courts that's saying that the assessment for some of these big box stores, rather than being assessed in a way that would be market value tied to what the store was being used for, there's been two cases now that said, no, you have to tie it to what's the value of a building sitting there empty. Now, that makes a huge, huge difference of what those buildings will be assessed for. And I'm sure that if you own a big building, you want it to be assessed for less so that your tax payments aren't as high. But let me assure you, here's what will happen is if the state doesn't do something to adjust how that revenue would be addressed, if we don't bring in the assessed value for those big box stores, then that obligation to pay those taxes that would have brought in will be spread throughout the other taxpayers, because that would cause the assessed value to go down, which causes the tax rates to go up, and we all pay the tax rate. So I think that at the state level, they'll have to do something to adjust this so that these counties who are already in trouble because they have low assessed value and they've hit those circuit breakers, which means they're having to lay, you know, law enforcement people off and so forth. I think this is going to be a big thing that the state is going to have to look at while they're in session. So
that's a really, really big deal, Marty. I don't think people understand exactly what we're talking
about. Where would you
get
that? Where would you make up that difference?
Well, if they say that indeed these last two case rulings are correct and will be held as valid, and that's how they are supposed to be assessing, then the difference will be, remember, because we're on a frozen levy, you figure out how much money you want to raise, and then you decide how much your total assessed value is to come up with your tax rate that everybody has to pay the tax rate. So the difference would have to come from all the other taxpayers.
Sounds like me.
And what you also have to remember is that if you get that tax rate too high, then your 1% of your value of your home. You don't have to pay any more than 1% of your market value, and you don't have to pay it, and nobody else has to pay it. It just means the government units lose that much revenue. So this could actually throw many more counties into the situation
where
they're losing so much money because of the circuit breaker that they cannot operate. So it really could bankrupt many counties.
So briefly, just so I'm following along here, property tax caps for people like me, that's what they are, right? They hit. So you have to make that revenue up in other places. So if that revenue stops coming in, where do you get your revenue from?
Okay, there's a difference between a property tax cap and a property tax circuit breaker.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad I asked that question.
Okay. The circuit breaker says to you, Mr. Taxpayer, you do not have to pay more than 1% of the value of your home in property tax, and then you get a credit that says you don't have to pay it anything over that 1%, and nobody else has to pay it, and so the school doesn't get that money, and the library doesn't, and so forth, all of those extra dollars.
Got it.
And since not many of us have hit that 1% because here in Monroe County, because we've had all of these wonderful assessed value properties, the big commercial properties that has helped us keep our tax rates low. It not only helps us grow jobs, but it helps us keep our tax rates low. Well, if those values drop off for all these big commercial buildings and you've got a lower assessed value total throughout the county because it dropped off, then that means everybody's tax rates goes up in order to raise that same frozen levy.
Because you have to get the money from somewhere.
So then that throws people into the circuit breaker, and then people just can't collect the money.
Gotcha. Well,
it's
some heavy lifting.
One, but that was the most important thing that we spoke of, and it will be the most important thing for counties to be out fighting for while the legislature's in session, because they're going to have to do something to adjust the revenue stream.
Yeah, that's because without a revenue stream, well.
I mean, it's just such a huge change, regardless of whether it's right or wrong. It's just such a huge change into throw all of, unless you have, oh my.
Well,
wow.
What I read in the Indy Star was that these counties had to do a payback to these people who had said, we don't like the way we've been assessed, and they won their appeal case.
Like the Fields happened with you guys?
Right, and so then they had to pay them back. Well, if we would have a big box store come and say, we don't like what's going on, and they would win their appeal, we'd have to pay them. At some point, where would all those dollars come from?
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. So
wow.
That is interesting. Marty, can you believe next Wednesday when we talk, it will be February?
Yes, and also I will be going up to Indianapolis to meet with some of the legislators next week, and so I may be on the road, but I will not be driving. So
no,
I may be talking with you on the phone or before I leave.